You be so kind to stand and turn with me in your Bibles. We're in the book of 1 Peter. Book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 17 of 1 Peter, chapter 1. 1 Peter, chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. And you have it, say agape. Agape. Hear ye the word of the Lord, and the scripture reads as such. And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And we want to use as a subject this morning the net worth of a Christian. The net worth of a Christian. You may be seated. The net worth of a Christian. The term net worth is a concept applicable to individuals or businesses as a key measure of how much that individual is worth. According to Forbes, here is a list of the top three individuals with the highest net worth in the entire world. Top three. Number one is Bill Gates. Bill Gates has a net worth of $79.2 billion. It's his net worth, Number two on the list is Carlos Helu, and his family have a net worth of $77.1 billion. Number three is Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett has a net worth of $72.7 billion. I don't know if you understand me this morning. A billion is a million times a thousand. Are y'all hearing me this morning? It's a thousand times a million gives you a billion. And here is their net worth, billions of dollars. From the athletic world, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan has a net worth of $1.14 billion. In other words, those Nikes that you are wearing contributes to his net worth. That Air Jordan warm-up that you wear contributes to Air Jordan's net worth. Now, understand this. A consistent increase in net worth indicates good financial health. Contrary to that, net worth may be depleted by annual operating losses or a substantial decrease in asset values relative to liabilities. Pastor, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. One minute you can have it, and the next minute you can be completely broke. It can be all gone. This worldly net worth. But the net worth that I'm talking about today, the net worth that I want to present today, never ever loses its value. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Listen, the Bible says that we have worth because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it never, never loses its power. Anybody know about the blood of Jesus Christ? Listen, another thing about that net worth. See, all of those billions of dollars, they're good, but only so long. Because we all know that things intrude our lives. Trials, tribulations intrude our lives. And all of those billions of dollars, all of our material things, all of our assets can't do a thing for you. Oh, y'all hear me this morning? Listen, let the doctor diagnose you with something that's terminal. All of those billions of dollars won't mean a thing to you during that time. But the net worth that I want to talk about this morning is able to keep us, able to sustain us in the troublous of times because of our network in him. People of God, if we would just understand that you have network as a Christian, that's what I want to talk about this morning. This morning, I want to talk about the network of a Christian. You work somebody when you in Jesus. Are y'all with me this morning? All right. Let's work on this thing. Here it is. Number one, we have to respond by living up to our network. We have to respond. Say respond. Respond by living up to our network. See, salvation is great. We've been talking about that for the last couple of weeks. How many know that your salvation is great? How many of you know that your salvation is great? How many of you really know that your salvation is great? Can I tell you how great it is? It came at a great price. Jesus paid a great price that you and I would have salvation, that we would have work, And because of that, we need to respond and live up to our great worth and our net worth in Jesus Christ. Look at the text right there in verse 17. It says, "And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work," here it is, "conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon this earth." Conduct yourselves in what? Fear. We must respond by living up to our network. See, the context of this entire book is about Christians who have to endure tough times, temptations and trials, persecution. They'd have to endure that. And what Peter wanted them to understand, that even when you go through, you still have to remember and reflect on your network and still conduct yourselves accordingly. Conduct yourselves accordingly. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says it like this: "For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." We have been bought with a price. You are not your own if you name the name of Jesus. If God is your heavenly Father, you have been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. In other words, because I'm in him, because I've been bought with a price, because I am no longer my own, I've got to adhere to what God says. I can't give my body over to anybody. Let me just park here for a minute. Because you name him as Father, and because Jesus has shed his precious blood for you and for me, we cannot give ourselves over to any and everybody, to any and everything. Because a tremendous price has been paid. You have net worth as a Christian. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Young people, you have net worth as a Christian. Worth, value. No. Everybody can't get close to you because of your net worth. You valuable. Valuable. You have network. You can't do everything everybody else does because you have network. You've been bought with a price. Bought with a price. Therefore, the scripture says, glorify God with your body. In other words, live up to your network. And see, you got to get to that place. You got to get to that place to where you know you have network. Are y'all with me this morning? See, look, you may not have $1 million in the bank, but you ought to be able to walk around like there's $1 million in the bank. Have I got a witness? Listen, carry yourself like you rich. Are y'all hearing me this morning? The Bible says that we are rich in Christ Jesus. We are rich, and so you got to act like you ought to have a little swag about yourself because of who you are in Christ Jesus. Are y'all with me this morning? We've got to live up to this value, this net worth. Listen, I'm a child of the king. That means I'm an heir to the king. I'm an heir to the throne. King's kids don't do things like everybody else. King's kids got access that nobody else have. Live up. Live up to your net worth. Live up to your net worth. Who's daddy? If God is your father, if he is your father, you've got access. Are y'all with me this morning? And we've got to live up. Look, it's Jesus. He paid such a great price. Such a great price that we can't live any kind of way. We have to respond in a way that lives up to our net worth. Secondly, we must remember that before Christ, we had no net worth. Before Christ, hear me today. Before Christ, we had no net worth. See that empty wallet? Bankrupt. Broke. Busted. Disgusted. Can't be trusted. I'm a poor and didn't know it. That's who we were before Christ. That's who you are without Christ. Are y'all with me this morning? You can have billions of dollars, but if you don't know Jesus, you are just as broke as all get up. And before Christ, our net worth was zero. It was nothing. Nothing. I'm going to show you in scripture since y'all looking at me like that. Let me show you Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 7. Look what the scripture says. This is from the Message version. I wanted the Message version so you really get it. Look what it says. It says, we can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for. And we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice, that we'd be willing to almost die for somebody that's good and noble. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. Are y'all with me this morning? See, people think when they get a little money in their pocket that they all that in a bag of chips. But can I be real with you? Without Jesus, your money and your bag of chips are just as stale and dry as all get up. Are y'all with me this morning? We were spiritually bankrupt. We had nothing, 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 nothing whatsoever. The Bible says that we were enemies of God. Read Romans 5. We were enemies of God. And he said, look, Paul said, now look, somebody would think about dying for a good man. Y'all know how it is. You got some people that you know, they give you the shirt off their back. You'd be almost willing to do a selfless sacrifice for somebody like that. But what the scripture is teaching is that all of us, because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. Oh, man, Isaiah said all of our righteous acts are nothing but a filthy rag in his sight. But Jesus loved us so much. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, he didn't wait on us to get it all together. He'd still be waiting. Many times we say, oh, I'm going to get it together, then I'm going to be at church. No, you'll never make it to church that way. If we could put ourselves together, if we could fix and right the wrong, it negates the fact, why did Jesus come? If we can fix ourselves, then it was pointless for Jesus to come and die on a cross. But he realized our condition. He realized that we were helpless. He realized that we were without strength. He realized that we couldn't do a thing for ourselves, and he died. And he died. But if it wasn't for Christ, without Christ, you were bankrupt. You're bankrupt. You have all the money in the world, but without Jesus, you are broke. Broke. Broke, broke. And I'm talking about your spiritual condition because, listen, when you stand before God, all of your assets, all of your network will not mean a thing. All he's looking for is, can he see any blood on you? Woo! Can he see any blood from his son on you. That's what you really want. If you got the precious blood of Jesus on you, God recognizes that. And we've been made right because of that. But if you don't have the blood of Jesus on you to stand before a holy, stand before a just God, you are in bad shape. Bad shape, bad shape. And he wants to give us work. He wants to give you work, but without him. And that's the thing about it. See, we forget that without him, we were nothing. People of God. That came up in men's ministry on Monday night. We were talking about how do we maintain a reverential fear of God, because that's what he says, conduct yourselves in the fear of God in verse 17. I just read that. But that question came up on Monday night. And if you're not in kingdom men, you're missing a blessing. Ooh, you're missing a blessing. But that question came up. How can we, as men of God, maintain a reverential fear of God? How can we? That was the question that came up. And what is a reverential fear of God? Dr. Evans broke it. He broke it all the way down. Really, what it boils down to is that we're just mindful of God. We're thinking about God. In other words, we realize that God is right around us. He gave an illustration just like the police car. When you riding on the highway, and if you're just driving, many times got the heavy foot, speed limit say 65, and we're doing the 75. But then the police pulls up, and what happens? Changes the whole thing. You breaking on down. Why? Because the police is you in his presence. Mm-mm-mm. And see what we do? We forget. We forget that you're always in the presence of God. Always in the presence of God. He's everywhere present at the same time. And what we've got to understand, we have to maintain a reverential fear of God. And the reason we don't is we forget about the price that was paid. That's why people do what they do. Christians, I'm not talking about lost folks, because he's writing to believers. He's writing to believers. For the lost folk, you bankrupt. You don't have nothing. Nothing. You got nothing. You need Jesus. And that's what you need to do at the end of this service. Or if the Spirit move you right now, you can jump up and we'll lead you to Christ right now. But I'm speaking to those that are not in Christ. We have to maintain a reverential fear of God. We got to always think about the price that was paid. Always think about the price. Never lose sight of the fact that there was a tremendous price that was paid. Have I got a witness? And we got to remember that what we were before, we forget if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, if it wasn't for that salvation of Jesus Christ, where would I be? Where would I be? And remember that before Christ, we had no net worth. Number three, we have to realize the value of our net worth. Say value. Realize the value of our net worth. Look at verse 18. Verse 18, it says this: knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your fathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Now there it is. Let me just backtrack for a minute. You see where it says the futile way of life inherited from your forefathers? Y'all see that in the text? Let me just back up real quick to my other point before I get to this next point. Let me say it like this. What we were bought from does not warrant the amount that was paid. Do y'all hear me? Write that down. What you and I were bought from does not warrant the amount that was paid. That precious blood. What we were bought from. He says from your futile way of life. You know what futile means? Aimless, pointless, worthless way of life. That's before Christ. That's before Christ. He's speaking to both Jews and Gentiles. The Jews thought that they could be justified by works. By works and trying to maintain and keep the law. The Gentiles worship idols. But what Peter is telling them, all of that stuff was pointless. It was worthless. And really what is speaking to us is that our former way of life was pointless. It was worthless. And this is what he's telling us. He says this is what we've been redeemed from. We've been bought from. And we have to remember where we came from. Amen. But then we go on to realize the value of our net worth. He says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold. Verse 19, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Redeemed. Now let's talk about the value, because y'all got to catch this. Our net worth is valuable. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Our net worth as believers is valuable. Why is it so valuable? Number one, it redeems. Say redeems. It redeems. Redeem means to buy back. Redeem means to buy back. It's something that has been given over as a slave or in captivity or in bondage to something else, and someone has to come and pay the price required to buy it back. Ooh-wee. See, here it is. Because of the fall, you and I were slaves to sin, in bondage to sin. We were headed for destruction in hell, and we needed somebody to pay a price, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The payment. Somebody had to come and buy us out of that. We didn't have enough money. Oh, there's not enough money in your bank account to buy you from the slave market of sin. That was not enough money that I had to buy me. Somebody had to redeem me, redeem you from that slave market, from being held captive, being held hostage under sin and Satan and hell. And the blood of Christ, our net worth, it redeems us. Colossians 1, 13, 14 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. That's one thing and why it's so valuable. Another thing that makes our net worth so valuable is that it's eternal. Say eternal. Look at the text, verse 18. It says, it's not like silver and gold, which are perishable. See, those things go away. We know net worth according to man's standard. One day you have it, one day you don't. But our value, our net worth is eternal. It's not like silver and gold. Another thing about our net worth, what makes it so valuable, is that it says it's precious, unblemished, and spotless. Precious, unblemished, and spotless. See, you got to understand something. All of this goes back to the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, when God got ready to deliver them, when God got ready to redeem them, when God got ready to deliver them out of Egypt's bondage, God required that Moses would kill a perfect lamb, a spotless lamb, and then take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost of the children of Israel so that the death angel would pass over them and not kill their firstborn. But the lamb had to be spotless. The lamb had to be without blemish. And all of that was a foreshadowing of the perfect Lamb of God who would come in the person of Jesus Christ. It all pointed to the coming of Jesus Christ. That's why it's important that you have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to the doorpost of your heart so that the death angel will pass you over in the time of judgment. It's important that we understand that. But he was a spotless lamb. He was a lamb without blemish. Hebrews 9:14 says this: how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God? That's what makes it so valuable. It's precious, unblemished, and spotless. Another thing that makes this network so valuable is that it gives us access. Ooh-wee, say access. Ephesians 2:13 says this: but now in Christ Jesus, who you formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, are y'all with me this morning? Because of the blood, because of our net worth, now we've got access to the Father. Oh, I get excited every time I hear that. Hebrews 10:19 says it like this: since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's valuable this morning. I'm telling you, we've got net worth this morning. See, when Jesus was on the cross, dying for your sin and for my sin, when Jesus was on the cross shedding his blood, the Bible says that the veil in the temple was ripped from top to bottom. Before then, only the priest could go into the Holy of Holies. But the Holy of Holies was on the cross, dying for your sin and for my sin. And the veil was ripped from top to bottom. Now I don't have to go through a priest. Now I don't have to go through some father. I've got direct access because of the network that I have in Jesus Christ. I'm talking about value this morning. Value this morning. Listen, listen. Not only that, I'm recognizing and understanding our network and why it has so much value. This final reason is big. The reason that it's so valuable, the reason that it's network that we have, is because it cleanses and it helps us to overcome. Ooh-wee. It cleanses and helps us to overcome. Look at Hebrews 9:14. It says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. To serve. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. What does that mean? Here it is. Y'all heard the term, you need to plead the blood over that? Anybody ever heard that term? You know what that means? Really, he says to cleanse your conscience. In other words, from dead works. All the stuff that you used to do, all the stuff that we used to do, and every time that stuff comes back up in your mind, you need to plead the blood of Jesus Christ on that. In other words, what you got to do is mentally, in your mind, think about the blood of Jesus Christ. This is how I do it. I start thinking about the blood of Jesus Christ. And what it does is that thought that comes in my mind that try to remind me of my past, what that does is I just picture that blood just coming down, streaming down over my issue, over whatever that was. We've got to learn to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. It cleanses our conscience of dead work. That's powerful. Listen, there's nothing else. There is nothing else. You know the old songwriter said, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Listen. Every time that thought comes in your head, think about the blood. Oh, think about the blood. You got to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only that, listen. See what Satan wants to do? He wants to accuse you. And he wants to accuse me. And he's good at bringing up our past even before the Father. Even before the Father. Look in Revelation. In Revelation 12:11, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him. We're overcomers because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you not know all Satan does is stand to accuse you and me? He wants to accuse you and me. But the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ covers every accusation that he has against you and me. Oh, I'm talking about our network this morning, our network this morning. We are worth something because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Have I got a witness in here? Anybody ever had to plead the blood of Jesus Christ? Anybody ever get a negative thought that come out of nowhere? Stuff you used to do, stuff you thought was gone, and all of a sudden that stuff pop up in anybody? Anybody in there know what I'm talking about? Every time that happens, start thinking about the blood of Jesus Christ. Start thinking about how that blood came streaming down and let that blood stream down over your situation and over your issue. Finally, number four, we have to recognize and realize the value of our network, but then we finally have to recognize the one who gave us our network. Oh, we have to recognize the one who gave us our network. Look at the text. It says, for he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now, he's been talking about all of these blessings that we have and what the blood does, how valuable it is. But now we have to recognize the one who gave us our network. And we're speaking of nobody but Jesus Christ. Right there at the end of that verse, right at the end of verse 19, he says, the blood of Christ. See, it can't be the blood of anybody else. It has to be the blood of Christ. If you want to have real value, if you really want to have network, it has to be through the blood of Christ. the blood of Christ. See, John recognized the one who gave value. John recognized the one who gave net worth. John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And here it is. Let me tell you something. When you and I recognize and acknowledge Jesus, he then gives you net worth. Are y'all with me this morning? When one recognizes the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, when you recognize him, he will give you net worth. He will give you value. Listen, many of us know that before Christ, you may have had low self-esteem. You may have felt like you wasn't worth anything. But once you met Jesus, he gives you value, and now you have net worth because of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a few examples as I close to tell you about people who recognized him. And after they recognized him, they had net worth. The writer of this book is Peter. Peter recognized Jesus, and Peter got work from Jesus. As a matter of fact, when Jesus asked his disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? Peter stepped out of nowhere and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, from this day forward, you'll no longer be Simon, but you're going to be called Peter because you're a rock. And on this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's given Peter work. The same old Peter turned around and denied him three times. He denied him three times. But that same Peter Jesus met after he had been resurrected, and he restored Peter. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. He restored Peter. He gave Peter net worth. He gave Peter value. But let's not stop right there. In Acts chapter 3, now Peter is doing work for the king. Peter and John approaches a lame man on their way to prayer meeting. This was a lame beggar. This man had been lame from birth. And he's standing outside the temple as Peter and John are on their way to prayer meeting. And this man made a habit of standing outside the temple begging for money. He was lame. He needed some things. He needed some self-work. And he ran into Peter and John on their way to prayer meeting. And he stuck his hand out and begged them of alms. And Peter and John said, look at me. I need you to look at me. And so the Bible says that the man got excited, thought he was about to get some money, thought he was going to get value in another way. But when he looked at Peter, Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the Bible says that this man got up and started leaping and praising God. Guess what? Now he had work that he didn't have before. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There was a woman at the well. This woman had no work. She had been with five men, but she ran into Jesus, and Jesus gave this woman work. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever ran into Jesus, acknowledged him for who he was, and he gave you work? I got one more for you. In Luke's gospel, the story is about a woman, a sinful woman. Jesus is reclining and dining in the house of the Pharisee. This woman noticed that Jesus was there. She recognized that Jesus was there. And the Bible says that this woman went into the house of this Pharisee. And this woman began crying tears. And with her tears, she began wiping Jesus' feet. She recognized him. With her hair, she began wiping his feet. She began to kiss his feet. And she had an expensive bag of oil. She took her expensive bag of oil and began to wipe Jesus' feet. The Pharisee said, if he was a prophet, he would know that this woman is a sinner. Jesus, understanding what's going on in his mind, he said, Simon, can I tell you something? Ever since I entered your house, you have not once washed my feet. Ever since I entered your house, you have not once kissed my feet. This sinful woman has not stopped kissing my feet. This sinful woman has not stopped washing my feet. This sinful woman has taken her oil and anointed my feet. Jesus said, woman, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Anybody know about his work this morning? Anybody understand what he saved you from? Anybody understand about the work that we have? If you don't, can I really help you out this morning? You were worth it. I don't care what you've done. You were worth it. You were worth it so much so that he left heaven, invaded his very own creation. He lived on this earth because you were worth it. He humbled himself on this earth because you were worth it. You were worth it so much that he decided one day to go up an old hill called Calvary because you were worth it. You were so worth it that he agonized in the garden. You were so worth it that he went up on Calvary's cross and he took a nail in both hands because you were worth it. Doesn't care about your sin. He didn't care about your past. He said, you're worth it. You're worth it. And he took the nails and he took the beatings and he died. He died. He died because you were worth it. Because I was worth it. And he got in that tomb. Stayed there Friday. Stayed there Saturday. But he got up. He got up. He got up Sunday morning because you're worth it. Because we're worth it. Because we're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You thought I was worth it. We got value. Come on, praise team. Come on, praise team. Come on, praise team. We're worth it. You got value this morning. You got value this morning. We have value this morning. He thought you were worth it. Doesn't matter what you've done. He doesn't care. You're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth it. If you don't know this Jesus, if you don't know this Jesus, if you want value, if you want net worth, if you want net worth, we give you Jesus. We give you Jesus. Prayer counselors, come on down. We give you Jesus. If you are here today, if you are here today, we want you to know that you were worth it. You were worth it. You were worth it. You were worth it. What will you do now? Will you embrace it? He paid a tremendous price. Tremendous price. He who was rich. He who was rich became poor so that we who were poor might become rich. That's what he did. Spirit of God is moving. Spirit of God is moving. You want value. You want worth.